Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show.
One of the stories that has the most meaning for me in entrepreneurial you is about a woman named Stephanie O'Connell, who was able, I think, in a really smart and savvy way, to overcome what derails a lot of people who are aspiring entrepreneurs or who have entrepreneurial side ventures. And that is, almost inevitably, you're going to hit a roadblock, or things are going to go slower than you want them to go, and it's easy to get disappointed or to just feel like, oh, it's not working. And that's the place where people give up. But instead, if you can focus on intermediate metrics of success, you know, success, I think people just sometimes think, oh, well, success means when I make $1 million, or success is when I get on Oprah. But that's going to take a long time, let's be honest.
Hi, it's great to have you on Your Career Podcast. I'm Jane Jackson, and thank you for listening. If you're a new listener, why not subscribe to this podcast so you're the first to listen to each new episode that'll provide inspiration in your career? Just go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio if you use an Android device and click subscribe. I've also a free Kickstart Your Career audio course that you can find on my Facebook page at facebook.com/JaneCareerCoach. See you there.
Welcome to Jane Jackson Careers, a podcast that takes your career to the next level. Here's your host, Jane Jackson, author of Amazon Careers bestseller, Navigating Career Crossroads.
Welcome back to my careers podcast, where I interview fascinating professionals who've made amazing career changes and are leaders in their field. Now, today I have on the show the phenomenal Dori Clark, who is an adjunct professor at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business and the author of Entrepreneurial You, Reinventing You, and Standout, which was named the number one leadership book of 2015 by Inc. magazine. A former presidential campaign spokeswoman, the New York Times described her as an expert at self-reinvention and helping others make changes in their lives too. A frequent contributor to the Harvard Business Review, she consults and speaks for clients including Google, Microsoft, and the World Bank. And for something completely different, she also produced a multiple Grammy Award-winning jazz album. So let's welcome Dori to the show. Hi, Dori.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so good to have you on the show. And honestly, going through your bio and everything that you've done, you have reinvented yourself with this incredible portfolio career. So I can't wait to hear about it. But how about, to kick us off, you tell us a little bit about your early days and what your career aspirations were as a little girl.
Well, thank you. I grew up in a small town in North Carolina, and it was kind of a strange place to grow up because it was a famous golf resort. So most people moved there to retire and play golf, and that's kind of what my parents did, actually. And then I was born when they were older, and so anyway, I grew up in this little tiny town. So I was just starved for interesting exotic things. So what I most really wanted to do was be James Bond. I wanted to be a spy and like have international intrigue. That was kind of my goal.
Oh, that sounds really good. Me too. Okay, and so from being an international spy, which actually sounds very, I'm surprised you haven't actually done that, okay, because of all the other things that
you've
done.
I guess I'm just not allowed to talk about it, right?
Yes, or maybe I've got a secret like that too. But you know, your career, it's amazing. Going through all the different things that you've done, like you were a presidential campaign spokeswoman. Let me just read this. Hang on. presidential campaign spokeswoman, a journalist, a lecturer, an author, a speaker, and now a strategy consultant. Plus, you had time to produce a jazz album that happened to win multiple Grammys as well. It's incredible. Can you tell us the journey to where you are today?
Thank you. I'm going to be doing musical theater, too. That's my newest one. Oh, I got accepted to a fellowship program for writing musical theater that it was going to start this fall, but I was launching Entrepreneurial You, my new book. So I asked if I could defer for a year. So I'm actually going to be getting that in the fall of 2018 instead.
That's going to be amazing. Something completely different as well. You know, just as an aside, I used to be an amateur drama many years ago in Singapore. And I choreographed a number of shows for them and was once invited to choreograph a very small professional production called Chameleon in Singapore, which was so much fun. But it was just on a very small scale. It sounds like you're going to be doing it on a much bigger scale. But how exciting.
Oh, thank you. That's great. Are you originally from Singapore?
I'm originally from Hong Kong. This is about you, Dora. It's not about me. But no, I'm from Hong Kong, and then I lived many years in Singapore and in San Francisco as well. But now I'm based in Sydney, and here you are in New York doing all these amazing things.
So thank you for indulging me. I just your accent didn't exactly sound Australian, so I wanted to know.
No, I'm half Chinese, half English. But I've had a number of career changes as well, which is why I find what you've done so amazing, because you've really reinvented yourself many, many times. And then with your book, Reinventing You, obviously guides people through that whole process. So, and now you're going to be going through another reinvention with the musical theatre, which sounds great. So we'll be seeing you on the stage too in future.
Not literally. I'm not going to be singing it. I'm just going to be writing it.
Sounds wonderful. Okay, so what about the early days? And when you were a journalist and you were a presidential campaign spokesperson, how did you get into all of that?
Well, really, I think a lot of my reinventions, I mean, this is something that I talk about in my first book, Reinventing You, is that in a lot of ways, I kind of classify reinventions into two categories, which is, of course, the voluntary and the involuntary. There are some people that maybe they're wanting to make a change because for years it's just been brewing. They have some passion that they want to explore. And then it kind of becomes a question of, well, how do I know when it's the right time? And how do I get the courage to make the leap and things like that? And those are important questions. And it's good to plan for them and to know how to do them well. And then sometimes there are situations where you are just pushed off the end of the pier and you have to figure it out because there are the involuntary transitions and the involuntary reinventions. And that's what I experienced myself. I started out, my first job after graduate school was as a political reporter. And after doing it for about a year, I got laid off, which is not surprising now necessarily. You know, journalists get laid off all the time. That's kind of the way of the world for them. But at the time, it was extremely uncommon, and I was not expecting it at all. And so I was kind of gobsmacked by it. And that memory, in many ways, inspired me later on to write the book Reinventing You so that other people could have the guide that I wish that I had, you know, much more of a concrete roadmap, because I felt like in many ways my reinvention was just me flailing along trying to figure things out. But the transition that I ultimately ended up making initially was that I, again, a good strategy when you're reinventing yourself is to kind of think about the Venn diagram overlaps of adjacent places you could go. And so I had been a political reporter. I couldn't get another job as a reporter, even though that's what I wanted to do. So I said, well, I could do politics. And so I got an offer to be a spokesperson on a gubernatorial campaign. And I ended up accepting that and going for a while into politics, first working on that gubernatorial race and then on a presidential race.
That's so interesting. You know, I work with a lot of people who've gone through redundancies as well. And as you say, being laid off as a journalist, and it's actually happening in Australia a lot at the moment because, you know, publishing is changing so much. It's going digital and, you know, there are designers and copywriters and editors all experiencing challenges as well. So when you experience that first redundancy or first experience of being laid off, it Was it a really emotional time for you, or were you quite circumspect about it, thinking, okay, I'm just going to find another role?
Well, in many ways, right at the moment, it was a mixed blessing because I really didn't like my boss. And so on one hand, you know, you feel like, well, okay, I'm relieved of that particular burden. and then on the other hand, they were extraordinarily, unbelievably cheap. And they gave me 4 days severance. I had worked, so they laid me off on a Monday, and so I'd worked one day, and then they gave me a week's pay. that was my severance. I'm like, oh, thank you so much, guys. So I was making, I think it was $28,000 a year, and I had to somehow figure out how to support myself immediately, which was terrifying. And something that I write about in my new book, Entrepreneurial You, that really made a big impact on me was, you know, it was just kind of this regular Monday, never saw it coming that they were laying me off. And so I figured, okay, well, you know, the next morning I'll just have to get up and start pounding the pavement and go job hunting. But that did not really work out the way that I thought, because they laid me off on Monday, September 10th, 2001. And so the next morning, of course, I was based in Boston, which is where a number of the planes from the terrorist attacks actually originated from. So everything was just turned upside down.
People crazy time.
Freaking out. Planes had stopped flying. The stock market stopped trading. Certainly no one's going to be doing an informational interview with an out-of-work reporter. This was not the time. This was the least of anybody's problems. And so in the midst of all of that, in the midst of this huge economic setback that it was crippling the economy and freaking people out because we did not know what was happening, I did not have a job and had to figure out somehow how to support myself. So yeah, it was definitely a scary time.
Yeah, so not only the redundancy or having to find another job, it's really world events as well, which really put everything into turmoil. So you managed to land on your feet, though. I mean, what a time to be laid off. My goodness. So you reinvented yourself and you got this job as a presidential campaign spokesperson. And after that, your career also has transitioned into being a lecturer and, of course, multiple author. Now you speak, you're a strategy consultant. How did it progress from working within the government and then everything else that you're doing now?
Yeah, well, I guess the most important and critical piece of all this, Jane, is that I worked on campaigns that kept losing. Otherwise, I might still be in politics. I might not have needed to reinvent myself. But again, you know, reinvention comes from a lot of different wellsprings. There's only so much you can control. You know, I couldn't control being laid off. To a somewhat extent, you know, as a staffer, you have a little bit of control over the campaign. But I mean, let's be honest, you don't control the campaign. You don't control what voters do. And so I ended up working on a gubernatorial campaign that lost. And I worked on a presidential campaign that was really exciting. And it was this like very sexy campaign to be involved in. And we were doing really, really great in the polls. It was, you know, sort of a formative moment in American political history. I worked for Howard Dean, who had a very meteoric rise in 2004, in the 2004 cycle, and was considered by many to be sort of the first candidate to really fully harness the power of the internet in his campaign. But he lost. And so I had to reinvent myself there. So it can take a while sometimes to find your way and find your footing. But really the secret for me when it came to reinvention was trying to take all of the disparate pieces. This is the part that's hard in the moment. And this is where, you know, sometimes having a book or a framework like Reinventing You can be helpful. But you have to take the disparate pieces of your past experiences and try to line them up and make meaning of them and say, well, how do they fit together and how can they be recombined in new ways? And so for me, eventually, what I came up with, the immediate thing that I did after working on the political campaigns was I ran a nonprofit for a couple of years. And it was in that process, interestingly, that I realized about a year in, it kind of clicked all of a sudden for me that running a nonprofit was exactly the same thing as running a business. You know, I mean, you know, it's literally the same thing. You're not trying to make a profit that you keep, but you certainly need to keep the business in the black. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've somehow managed to learn to run a business. I should do this for myself. And so I took all of the pieces of the writing and the politics and the communication and the marketing, and I put them together. And a year after that, I gave myself a little bit of runway. But a year after that, I ended up launching my entrepreneurial venture, which I've now done for the past 11 years.
Yeah, the past 11 years has been really such a meteoric rise for you as well, because you identified your transferable skills and figured out how to leverage it into all these different areas. And then you wrote the book Stand Out, Reinventing You, and now Entrepreneurial You. So you're a master of reinvention and personal branding.
Thank you.
So with the branding, you've done it so well, because I see you everywhere, Dory, honestly. Social media, you're there, but it exudes positivity and, you know, the potential of, you know, really the world is our oyster if we know exactly what to do. So can you tell us a little bit about your latest book, Entrepreneurial You, and what it focuses on and what you hope it will do for others who read it?
Yeah, thank you, Jane. So in many ways, in the course of writing Entrepreneurial You, my latest book, I came to realize that without my really having known it, I was developing a trilogy over the years. Reinventing You, my first book, was, of course, about how to reinvent yourself into the job or into the career that you want to be in. The next book that I wrote, Stand Out, which came out in 2015, is about the next step, which is, all right, you know, once you're in that job or once you're in that career, what do you do then? How do you actually get to be considered a recognized expert in your field? What does that take? What does that look like? And so I wrote about that process. But then I got fascinated with one other piece that in many ways I think is the culmination of it, which is, okay, you're doing what you love, you're really good at it. How do you make money at it? How do you create a thriving, successful, lucrative, sustainable career for yourself in that field? And that was the nut that I wanted to crack. And so in writing Entrepreneurial You, I interviewed 50 plus very successful 6-, 7-, and 8-figure entrepreneurs about the specifics behind their business model, exactly what they do, exactly how they earn revenue, and presented it to readers as kind of a smorgasbord for them to choose from about different forms of monetization that would seem right, seem comfortable to them and for their business, so that they can create their own personalized roadmaps and get some inspiration about how they can apply that in their own businesses.
How interesting. And so with all of the information that you gathered from all of the different entrepreneurs that you interviewed, what would you say are the top three things that really stood out for you?
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting pieces, of course. And I think that probably for each individual reader, they might respond to different things that suit their own circumstance or the questions that they're grappling with. But I can tell you, for instance, for me personally, part of why I wanted to write the book was I wanted to answer these questions for myself. I, over the years, had built up, you know, a very strong 6-figure business, but probably like you or a lot of your listeners, I would periodically, you know, raise my head and look around and I'd see colleagues of mine who were doing these, you know, like, oh, you know, they just launched a course and they brought in $3 million. And I'm like, how are they doing this? What is going on? What am I missing? And I wanted to learn about it for myself and to see if there were these big things that I was missing. So in particular, I was very interested in understanding more about the world of online courses. That was an area that I had dabbled in a little bit, but really wanted to grasp, and also learning more about ways to leverage live events, which was something that I had never done. And so those were a couple of particular areas of growth for me. So I interviewed people intensively about that. And then throughout the course of 2016, I did the interviews for Entrepreneurial You in January and February of 2016. And then I spent the year basically doing two things. writing the book and putting into practice what I learned by launching my first online course, Recognized Expert. And so I launched in April of that year a pilot, and in September of that year I launched the full course. And it's actually really been transformative, because throughout the duration of 2016, I was able, strictly on the basis of just implementing the new techniques that I had learned about in the course of doing the Entrepreneurial You interviews, I was able to add an additional $193,000 to my bottom line in 2016 compared to 2015. And for me, I was excited to be the first guinea pig for Entrepreneurial You. And it's very much my hope that readers can find their own thing, whether it's creating, starting to do more coaching or consulting or speaking or mastermind groups or online communities or affiliate income, any of these different things from the smorgasbord, if they can find different pieces that they can add into their own business models that hopefully can have great returns for them as well.
I think that's so interesting, because I'm also creating online courses as well at the moment, and it really is exciting. So it's lovely to be guided by you as such. But I think these days, because there's so much organizational change, and people feel quite anxious about their roles, and they're dependent on the employer. If you're able to have multiple income streams, as you have done, you're not beholden to one person. Or if something's working, at least or isn't working, at least there's income coming from another source as well. So whether it's going to be speaking or writing and selling books or having live events or having affiliate income coming in as well, I mean, that's just such a smart way to do it. And it seems to be working well for you very, very quickly. I mean, wow, Recognized Expert must be a very, very popular course. I think I'm going to have to take this one.
We would love to have you. We already have some great Aussies in the program, mm-hmm. and some folks from Hong Kong too. Mm-hmm. So you'd be in good company. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're 100% right that creating multiple income streams is, of course, for obvious reasons, really good for entrepreneurs. But even, and perhaps especially, if folks who are listening have a day job, mm-hmm. this is something that many times people don't think to do, but can be so important in terms of just creating more career security for yourself. One of the stories that I tell in Entrepreneurial You is about a guy named Pat Flynn. And he now is a well-known blogger and podcaster. But the way that he actually got his start is really what I think is fascinating. During the 2008, recession and leading up to that, he was an aspiring architect. And he had a job at an architecture firm, and he wasn't making a lot of money, but he was getting somewhere. He was working his way up. And so one of the things that he decided to do in order to burnish his credentials was he wanted to pass the LEED certification exam, which is a certification in the architecture world that shows that you are conversant with green building practices. Mm. So he took this test, and as a way of studying for it, just to kind of keep himself sharp, he decided he would create a blog. And on this blog, he would write articles and kind of post his study notes and things like that. He figured, it'll help me study better, and maybe it can help some other people too. So he starts doing this, and turns out, yay, it worked. He passes the exam. And so once he passes the exam, a thought occurs to him, which is, hey, I wonder if the people who are visiting this website, some of them might actually prefer to read all the study guide material in a book form rather than just, clicking on every article. All the material was there for free, and if people wanted to do it one little blog post at a time, they could. But he figured, people might be willing to pay a little extra for the convenience of just having a book. So he puts together this ebook that, so that people can read it on their Kindle or whatever. And he sets it up for sale on his website. The first month that it goes up, because he had built such strong search engine rankings, because his site was good and it was popular and it was linked to, he sold $7,900 worth of ebooks. And that actually turned out to be transformative for him for two reasons. One is that it was nearly twice as much money as he was making in his full-time job at the architecture firm. That was one thing. But the second thing is that right around that same time, just after he launched the ebook, he got laid off from his architecture firm in the midst of the 2008 recession. No one was building anything, so the architecture firms were just firing everybody. And so he lost his job. And the chances of him getting another job at a different architecture firm in the midst of the recession were not great. It was kind of like me trying to become, you know, trying to get another reporting job. It just wasn't happening. But he had so much success with that ebook, he looked at it and said, you know what? Maybe there's something here. Maybe I could do something with this. And of course, now 10 years later, he has become a very successful online entrepreneur, is earning six figures a month with his blog and podcast. And it really all started with that small thing about creating a side income stream to complement his day job.
And his podcast is one that I listen to as well. And it's so inspiring because he's fun to listen to. It really is amazing. But I love stories like that because it's really reinventing yourself. And I know when I'm working with my clients, so often they just feel stuck and they're focused on one area. Got to get a job, got to get a job. But to be quite honest, the only thing we can ever rely on 100% is ourselves and our own ability. So if you think, okay, if someone's not going to pick me for a job, I'm going to pick myself and create my own career in a way, which obviously is what he's done so well and what you've done so well as well. So it must have been so interesting interviewing all of those different entrepreneurs for the book. Last year must have been just a fun ride.
It was great. I packed in all of the interviews into January and February, so I was literally, you know, two, three times a day doing these very intense interviews with some of the greatest entrepreneurial thinkers out there. So it was like a fire hose of information, which was pretty exciting to take in.
Yeah, you know, the other day I was reading a couple of your articles because there's so many of them and they're all really good. And there was there were two that I really liked. One was what you wrote in 2011, long time ago, Five Things to Stop Doing in 2012. And reading through it, everything is still relevant now because we fiddle about too much, don't we? But the other article following on for it was Five Things to Do Now. And if you don't mind, I just want to go through those five things because I think it's going to be really helpful for everyone who wants to reinvent themselves as well.
Indeed.
One is read one book a month for professional development. Fantastic. Two, sleep more, without a doubt, because it's practicing self-care, isn't it? Third is join a charity board, and your favorite, one of your favorite ones, it says, is animal welfare.
Yes, yeah. I have two little cuddly kittens.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Oh well, I'm a crazy cat lady. There we go. And the next one is ask for referrals. And too many people are afraid to ask for referrals, or they think, oh, you know, it's I don't want to pick note myself, or I don't want to impose. But so many people are quite happy to provide referrals if you've done a good job, but you ask, right? And then finally,
absolutely,
is leave work at a reasonable time. That's something I'm definitely taking note of, because the thing is, that especially if you're an entrepreneur and you run your own business, you can work and work and work and not stop because it's your own baby. And usually you're so excited about it that you end up burning yourself out too. So I think these five top tips, are there any more that you want to add to that?
Thank you for resurrecting them from the archives.
Yeah, oh, they're great. They're great.
Yeah. Well, you know, one other that I will add on, it actually comes from an anecdote that I learned about in the course of doing the interviews for Entrepreneurial You, and I loved this story. It was from a guy named Michael Parrish Dudell, who is a consultant who is perhaps best known for writing the book based on the television show Shark Tank, and he. When he was first deciding whether to start his own entrepreneurial venture, he gave himself a deadline because he realized that if he had a business that was a going concern as an entrepreneur, he knew he could do all the things. You know, he knew he could do the marketing and the writing and, you know, all the tasks. But one thing that he had never done, which of course is critical to being a successful entrepreneur, is he had never made a sale. He had never closed a client, and he realized, he was smart enough to realize, I have to get good at that if I'm going to be able to have my own business. And so he knew it was the kind of thing that you could just procrastinate on forever because it's hard, it's tricky, it's complicated. Like, how do you do that? How do you land your first client? And so he gave himself a deadline, and he really wanted to launch his own business. But he said, if I give it my all for the next month and I can't land a client in a month, I'm going to quit. And I'm going to say, you know what? Too bad. I'm not going to be an entrepreneur. I'll just go get a job. But he put the heat on himself. And I think that sometimes we're reluctant to do it because it's a lot easier to just kick the can down the road. But setting a deadline can be very powerful. And so I think in a lot of ways, you know, if I can add another one to the list, it would be just start. Just do something. When we say land a client, it doesn't even mean, you know, it has to be this, you know, $50,000 engagement. It means literally get someone to give you some little amount of money. You are an entrepreneur if you can get someone to pay you $20 for a coaching session. Congratulations, you've done it. Entrepreneurship begins not when you read a book about it, not when you think about it. Entrepreneurship begins when someone gives you money for something. And if you can just get started, even if it's not the final form, even if it's not perfectly polished, even if you don't have a website yet or whatever, then it makes a difference and the momentum feeds on itself.
I love that. I'm going to take that snippet and turn it into a soundbite to promote Dori Clark. I like that. That's fantastic. Wonderful. Well, Dori, it is such a pleasure talking to you, and I want people to know exactly where to find you. So you tell us, where can people find you?
Thank you so much, Jane. So the best place that people can find me and more than 400 free articles that I've written for places like Forbes and the Harvard Business Review is on my website, which is doriclark.com. It's DoriClark.com. And folks who are interested in entrepreneurship and creating multiple income streams in their own business, in addition, of course, to the book, Entrepreneurial You, I have a free resource that people can download, which is the 88-Question Entrepreneurial You Self-Assessment. And folks can also get that right off the homepage at doriclark.com.
Perfect. It's the Entrepreneurial You Self-Assessment Workbook. Is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah, perfect. I'm going to have all of the links to Dori Clark and the Self-Assessment Workbook in my show notes on janejacksoncoach.com, so people can just click through and get more insights from you. And are there any parting thoughts you want to leave with us, Dori? Because I could talk to you all day, but you're a busy woman and it is on a Sunday evening, even though it's a Monday morning for me here in Sydney. It's a Sunday evening for you in New York. So parting thoughts so I don't keep you up too late.
Yes, thank you. Yes, so I can leave work at a reasonable time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm so delighted to be talking with you. And, you know, I would just say as a parting thought that one of the stories that has the most meaning for me in Entrepreneurial You is about a woman named Stephanie O'Connell, who was able, I think, in a really smart and savvy way to overcome what derails a lot of people who are aspiring entrepreneurs or who have entrepreneurial side ventures. And that is, almost inevitably, you're going to hit a roadblock or things are going to go slower than you want them to go. And it's easy to get disappointed or to just feel like, oh, it's not working. And that's the place where people give up. But instead, if you can focus on intermediate metrics of success, you know, success, I think people just sometimes think, oh, well, success means when I make $1 million or success is when I get on Oprah. But that's going to take a long time. Let's be honest. That's not going to happen in a month. That's not going to happen in 6 months. You need to work toward it. And so how do you know you're making progress in a month or in 6 months? And so Stephanie told me that something that she always did was she celebrated the small wins and recognized them for what they were. And she said, you know, she thinks about times when she had been blogging for free for so long, and the first time that someone actually offered to pay her money to blog. Now, it wasn't a lot of money. It was like $20. But she said she took that as a sign that someone else thought her work was worth paying for. And if we can put it in that context, and if we can realize that it's a process, and you have to celebrate each step along that process, it can give you the courage and the motivation to keep going, even when it's challenging or even when it's just slower than we'd like.
Absolutely inspirational. This is going to be fantastic for all of my listeners. And I'm so lucky that you came on the show today. Fantastic, because I interview so many people, but this one is a really inspirational one because you've been there, you've done that, and you've spoken to all the other, so many other people who've been there and done that as well to reinvent themselves. So I think we can all go forth and become entrepreneurial us.
Yes, well. I love it.
So thank you so much, Dori. I hope that in about 6 months' time, may I get you back on the show again and let me know how things are progressing for you?
Absolutely. Let's do it. We'll fantastic. Have a repeat date.
Yeah, it'd be really good to have a chat. And thank you so much, Dori, for your time, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening.
Jane, thank you. Take care.
Okay, bye. If you'd like to find out how coaching can help you, visit janejacksoncoach.com, where not only will you be able to listen to other fascinating interviews from professionals who've made amazing career changes, you'll also be able to download some free ebooks and guides on how to manage your career effectively.
You've been listening to Jane Jackson Careers. Sign up to receive regular career advice at janejacksoncoach.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my career success program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.